Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Kevin Vanderput.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be together today. I have the privilege of bringing the word. So good morning to Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, to all our congregations. We're just going to have some time listening and hearing from God today. And why don't we just start with prayer before we dive in? Father, I thank you that you are here and that you want to speak today. Would you open our eyes, our hearts to receive from you? Lord, no one is here to hear Kevin. Everyone is here to hear you. Would you do a deep work in us as we continue to explore different facets of your kingdom and your kingdom life? Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Your servants are listening. We are listening. Would you speak your words to our hearts this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great. Maybe you can turn to your neighbor and just shake him up a little bit and say, are you ready? Are you ready today to receive from God and to hear from him? I'll leave you a minute to do that. Don't be too violent. That's a bit too much. Just go gently. But we are ready. We are ready to hear from God. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of daily encounters with God. I've had this question, sort of question and answer thing burning in my head the last few days, burning. I'll be funny because of what I'm going into. But just this question and answer thing going around in my head. How do you get set on fire? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about actual fire. Don't go and set yourself on fire. But you could also ask, how do you become on fire for God? With this answer coming to me every time right after, by spending time with the consuming fire. Simple, right? Simple, by spending time with the consuming fire. God is describing the Bible as a consuming fire, right? Now, you might see the word consuming as something of a, with a negative connotation in your head, like something that's destructive, a fire that consumes and destroys all that's around it. But it can also be seen from another perspective, a consuming meaning to completely absorb or consume the attention of someone or something. And I think as we spend time with the consuming fire, we inevitably catch on fire as well. And in that process, everything that is not of him gets consumed, like burnt up, and we get consumed with what is of him. And there's a refining and shaping that might take place in the fire, but there's also this mighty and strong life that comes through. There's a sense of his glory that fills us and his presence that fills us afresh. In 2 Chronicles 7, at the very beginning of the chapter, we find Solomon that dedicates the temple. And watch what happens as we read these first few verses. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. So you see this fire coming down and God's glory filling the temple at the time. His glory was within that fire. And do you know, this is not a trick question, who are the temples today? You and me, right? You and me. You'll often hear people say, oh, these guys, they're on fire for God. And what does that mean? That means that the things that were not of him have fallen away and been burnt up. And now his glory, his life, his power and anointing are what's consuming them, right? They are the people who spend time with the Lord. They are the people who hear from him, who surrender, who submit and do what he asks. As simple as that. Those are the people who are on fire for God. And how do you get set on fire? By spending time with the consuming fire. Today, we're going to start by talking about the importance of spending time with the Lord. Having daily time with him, having daily encounters with God. One, because we are called to be in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So why would we not be investing in that relationship, right? But also because I believe that there's places where God wants to take us as a body corporately. And I believe that we will only get there with a people living in personal revival, living out of the overflow of their own cup, so that when we come together, there's an explosion of faith, expectancy, words of God, the prophetic, the everything, because you are not coming to receive the little that you will live on for the rest of the week. But you are coming together out of an overflow and ready to pour out. So if we all do that, if we all pour out from the overflow of what's been happening during our week, then it's like this beautiful fragrance that goes up to heaven. The room where we gather is pregnant with this atmosphere of faith and expectancy, because God has been speaking to you already about Sunday, about the things that He's put on your heart. And all of that starts to add up when all of us come together, right? Doesn't that sound so good? And so there's an atmosphere pregnant with faith, and the Lord moves mightily as a result. We've been hearing from the beginning of this year, really, all these words around coming up the mountain of the Lord, coming up higher, our last encounter all together here in Horsham. If you were there, Jen released a word around the fact that there is a battle for a devotion going on. And I believe that's very true. And there's a battle for our devotion going on, which means it's so important that we set our faces like flint on God and give Him all of our attention and devotion. The only way to go up a mountain, to give God our devotion, is through intimacy, through time with the Father, through loving Him, through making time for Him. Now, we're about to step soon into another week of prayer and fasting. And again, my heart is that each of us would be able to dig deeper with God during that week privately, as well as encountering Him when we come all together for the encounters during that week. Charles Finney, revivalist, you all know him probably, famously said that Christians could have revival anywhere, anytime, as long as they were prepared to face the cost and allow God to do what is necessary in their lives. Now, the guys lived it, right? So I think we can sort of trust his word. But in essence, why can Christians have revival anywhere, anytime? Because they have a living and active connection to the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit is wanting to move, wanting to revive, wanting to bring life, wanting to release all of the time. So that's why we can have revival anywhere, anytime, because you can meet with God anytime, any place. All you have to do is, where's God residing? Right? That's the question. Where is God residing? Not a trick question. Let's see. Anyone want to give an answer? Where is God residing? I don't know how much time I should give you to answer the question because I'm not in the room. But if you answered inside or within, that's the good answer. Wasn't a trick question. So all we need to do to connect with God anytime, any place, is to stop and actually look inward, right? Acknowledge the Holy Spirit within us. Maybe take a deep breath and acknowledge the Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You are here. I thank You that Your river of life is flowing through me. I thank You that You speak, that You lead. I am here for You right now. Speak, Your servant is listening. You know, just doing that, you have a sense of, yeah, there's rivers of life going inside, going through me. There's the Holy Spirit, the fullness of who God is within me. So sometimes all it takes is that moment to stop and look within. I'm reading this book currently, and the author describes it this way, which again might help some of us as he's painting a picture for us. 1 Corinthians says that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. I like to picture a giant umbilical cord connecting me to Jesus as He sits at the right hand of God. What do umbilical cords do? They release nutrients and food to the child. They are the life source. No matter where we go, what we do, we are connected with Christ by a giant, invisible umbilical cord. All of the life and the resources of Jesus are available to us. It's critical that we understand that we are joined with Christ. We are not next to Him, we are one with Him. Through His Spirit, He is in us. Right now, we have the ability to feel what Jesus is feeling, see what He's seeing, know what He's thinking, and pray what He's praying. I'll often pray this, Jesus, give me your prayers. What are you feeling, thinking, praying right now? Isn't that beautiful? Again, it's just to help sort of paint that picture. But the truth is that although we are in the vine, it says in John 15, He also calls us in that chapter to abide in it. And that tells me that there is a deliberate decision to engage as the branches with the vine, right? And draw the life from the vine to be thriving branches per se. Here's another quick quote from that same book. The author of Hebrews states that God rewards those who diligently seek Him, which means this. If we answer the call to actively fellowship with God, then we will see the power and the life of the Holy Spirit break out of our spirits and spread like a wildfire, transforming every area of our lives. Again, here's that concept of the fire taking over our lives. The thing is, though, we cannot create that kind of fire by ourselves. We don't have the ability to kickstart it. It's only started and grown in His presence because He is that consuming fire. Now, my goal through this morning is to help bring fresh life, maybe fresh freedom to your times with the Lord, because I think that we all might have a certain picture of what spending time with the Lord looks like or should look like. And some of us might know exactly what works for them and some of us might not. Some of you might find it easy, some others might find it hard and maybe dry. But God says, right, in the Word that He has abundant life to give us. Abundant life to give us. So if we have abundant life to find somewhere, surely there's more to tap in yet, right? So the reality is we're not all the same, right? Some things that I enjoy doing and some things that work for me, I shouldn't expect it to work for everybody else because we might not tick the same way. We might not like the same stuff. We've been created differently. So maybe our times with the Lord shouldn't look exactly the same for everyone. I hope you're still with me with that. Now, I'm going to go through different ways in which I believe we can encounter God and some ways might help you in your times with Him. And I'm praying that this would be helpful to all of us. And again, I believe that we can all meet with God in all of those ways and should do that. But there might be some ways that you're more inclined to than others. Again, bring fresh life and also permission to explore new things and ways to encounter God. I also have to say that some of this list is not something that I've come up with, but a big church in the state called Mercy Culture, they've come up with this resource that they've made available and we were impacted by it, by reading it. So we've now brought it to all of you guys. So let's go through different categories, different ways we can meet with God, encounter God, and see how it can help all of us as we set time aside every day to be with the Lord. First one, it's easy, adoration. I think it's easy because we all know and can picture where this is going. You connect with God, you encounter Him through worship. You do that easily when there is worship going on. When you are ministering to Him through worship, through singing, you feel the closest to Him in those moments. As you worship, you turn your heart, your attention, your whole being towards God, and you make yourself available to hear. And so as He starts speaking to you in that place of adoration, things start to shift. Worship is how you enter His presence. Worship is how you fix your eyes on Him. Maybe you picture Him as you sing out your own songs of adoration and you find yourself sort of getting into that throne room easily as you are worshiping the Lord. Now, I'm sure we would all say here in every congregation that we love worship, but to some of us, it's a vital part of our process of encountering the Lord. I'm definitely one of those people, right? I'm not an emotional person, like at all. But if I have to recall the last five times I've cried, probably four out of those five times was me on my knees in a room worshiping the Lord, right? Because there is something for me that happens when I connect my heart with God's through songs and I start lavishing my praise for Him at His feet. It's often in the place of worship that I start hearing God, that I start writing things down, that I start repenting because I feel He's putting His finger on something and I start reordering things in my heart. Worship helps me stay engaged as the rhythms of the songs change, as I flow with what the Spirit is doing and what they're releasing prophetically or what I sing out prophetically. I feel like there's a journey that we are on with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sort of in that flow. And the same song might be on play, on repeat 3-4 times because of what's happening I feel in the room at that moment. So I encounter God easily through adoration, right? Now, this is not reserved to the musicians or the singers in the room, the people with the voice of an angel. I definitely don't have that. I can't hit a note. I've tried. Doesn't happen. That's why I'm not on the worship team or play one for that matter. Can't do that either. But I am a worshiper nonetheless, right? We all are. I'm a loud worshiper. I'm an expressive worshiper because I know what happens when I completely abandon myself in that place of adoration in His presence. Psalm 63 beautifully describes David encountering God in adoration and worship. It says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I love that. Satisfied as with the richest of food as I give my worship to you. And that's what I find when I come to that place of just worshiping and adoring God. Now, for something completely different, creation. You might connect with God best when you are outside, admiring His creation. You find yourself the closest to God and the easiest to connect with Him, to hear His voice, to receive, even to worship or engage with Him on a deeper level when you are surrounded by everything He has already created. God's greatness is on display, right, all around you, and you are able to draw close to Him as you are looking at everything that He's done and are in awe of who He is. And so, although I'm not one to be moved by scenery or a tree or just any sort of those things, you might be. So when you're outside sitting and looking at the field and the wind blowing through and everything starts speaking to you. And we see instances of that in the Bible as well. Isaiah 40, a famous scripture throughout the whole chapter, Isaiah speaks out of what he is receiving from God, and it's all tied into his creation. So verse 12, for instance, says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scale and the hills in a balance? Can you see how, as he's sort of pondering upon the creation, upon the vastness, the greatness of it, it's reminding him of the greatness of the Creator. It's helping him connect to God, and God is starting to speak. Now, maybe you need to move your time with God outside, or at best by a window. So as you look out and are letting just sort of His creation helping you connect with the Creator. We cannot obviously let an external atmosphere sort of dictate if we can encounter God or not. As we said earlier, we have the ability to connect with Him anywhere, anytime. But for some of us, going on a walk or simply spending time with the Lord outside might really help. Another way now that some of us will connect better with God is in silence and solitude. You feel the closest to God when you shut the door to every noise and everyone around you. When you are alone, you feel that you feel this closeness to him. You enter his holy place in the quiet and in this special relationship, just you and him. And you can give him all your attention, all your devotion. There is no distraction. Everything is removed. You feel seen, heard, safe. You sit in silence and you listen. You are being ministered to by the Holy Spirit and you minister back to the Lord in return. That place of intimacy where he can, the word speaks of a still small voice, right? And because you're in the silence, in the quiet, in that place of solitude, it's easy to hear that still small voice. Now, solitude requires preparation, right? To be able to remove every distraction, you might need to plan these special times with the Lord. Probably early morning or late nights will be your go-to moments. It might look like pockets in your day where you find yourself with a little bit of space and you can pause and invite the Lord in those moments. Let him invade the quietness of the moment. A good way to develop encountering God in this way is to simply practice silence, to find space to sit in the quiet. And just like we did earlier, start acknowledging the Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are within me, that you speak. I am listening. I am here. I honor you, you know, and just listen. Silence and solitude. Thank you, Jesus. Another way some of us will connect with God, or it will help some of us connect with God, is learning. You want to honor God with your mind. You're a thinker, maybe. As you read his word, your mind is full of questions, and these questions are what drives your desire to go deeper with God, to learn, to inquire of the Lord for insights. You press in until you find answers and you find that resolve within that. It's the truth that sets people free, right? So you value knowing the truth. You feel the closest to God when you get fresh revelation from him, from his word. You get fresh insights into his character, his will, his purposes. Very often you might say, God, teach me your ways. I want to know you. And how does he teach you? Through the word, right? And so as you look at the word, you learn. And it's not, the one thing you have to be careful of, it's not just about information. So you're not just learning about God. You want to meet with him in that moment, right? But you, as you learn things, you feel like, yeah, okay, there's God speaking. There's something flowing in that moment. So learning for you is important. So there's an impartation in that moment. So you lean into those moments to not just know facts, but more about God, to know him and encounter him. A great example of that in the word is Solomon, right? He asked for wisdom, and God was constantly, as you look through the life of Solomon and moments, God was constantly teaching him, revealing things to him, informing him. So wisdom came from above, and that's what sort of grew his relationship with God as well. Now for a similar one, but we'll call this one meditation. Although similar meditation doesn't have to necessarily be about learning something new every time. But the word, it's all about the word. It's all about scripture. That's your meeting place with the Lord. You meditate on scripture. You slow down as you read and the words start coming alive to you. Your mind become consumed with the words on that page. In that place, you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking. And you start writing maybe the rhema word of God that he's highlighting to you. Maybe you declare scripture, you ponder on scripture, you become what you behold, right? And so you encounter Jesus through his word and become like him as a result. Your mind has been renewed. You feel empowered by the truth of his word. And the word becomes living and active in that way. One thing that's important to do when you meet God like that is to always start by asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you open the word. Expect to hear. When something stands out, stop, meditate, listen, ask questions. Yeah, I think these four. Meditate, listen, ask questions, stop. Here's something that might help as we're talking about the word and how to encounter God through it. It's reminding yourself that you are not reading just for information. I think too many of us, myself included, we guilty of just reading the word like we read another book. But it's not about information, it's about impartation. There's something of the life of God that needs to flow out of that book and into our spirits, right? It's not about how much we read, it's about how much actually gets in deep in here, roots itself in and changes us, molds us as a result. Can I stay on that for one more minute? Read slowly. Maybe read aloud when you read the word. Repeat phrases that stand out to you. Visualize what is going on. Put yourself in those situations. Pause. Pray in the spirit maybe for 2 minutes. Then go again when you feel the prompting to. I find asking questions really helps. Who, why, where, when? It does open the way to revelation, for revelation to come in through the word. Right? Jesus says at one point, I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay, I've read that. Let's read it again. I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay, Jesus. How did you see? Was it your natural eyes? Was it something in your mind that you saw? Was it a prompting in your spirit, something you heard within? And so you went into action. So all of those, you are mulling over, you are meditating on that scripture. And then turn it into a prayer, maybe. Help me see as you see, Lord. Let me operate as Jesus did when he was on earth. So that like him, I would see what you see. I would see your kingdom established on this earth like Jesus did. And then pray in tongues for a couple minutes. Let that flow. And then keep reading. Wow. There's life in that, right? It's much more than just reading a chapter because you have to read a chapter that day. There's life in that. Hopefully you can sense that. Another way to encounter God in our daily lives is movement. When you're physically moving, this might only apply to some of us, but when you are physically moving, whether that's a walk, a run, whether that's dancing, working with your hands, whether that's even just a change of position during worship, in movement, you are able to empty the noise that might be going on in your head and focus on his voice, focus on him fully. In movement, you hear. You stay focused, you remove distractions, you're able to give God full devotion and affection. As you move, you feel led by the Spirit in greater intimacy. As you move, it releases faith, it releases freedom. It's another one that particularly resonates with me. Movement helps me, it just does. If you watch me, don't all do that at the same time. But if you watch me in an encounter or in any setting, if you're in Burgess Hill congregation or whatever, I'm often just pacing up and down, moving. I find that movement helps me stay engaged, helps me stay focused, especially if I'm going to step into an extended time of prayer and intercession, I'm going to get my step count up. For sure. There's no doubt about it. It helps me stay in that place. I'm staying in step with the Spirit, it almost feels like, right? Earlier in the week, I think it was Tuesday, I was trying to start writing some of this down. And it just, as I was writing and typing on the computer, it just didn't feel like anything was clicking. I knew I had downloads and I had so much in my head that I know God wanted to speak about. But when I was it just felt a bit clunky. Next morning, got up, went on a run first thing. And as I'm out running, and I'm acknowledging God within that run, right? You just don't do activities for the sake of it and whatever. Is you involving God in that movement. And so it just felt like all my thoughts were reordering. And suddenly I had a clear, this is where you start. This is where you go next. Have you thought about that? This scripture stood out. Boom, boom, boom. Came back. Took a shower and then just started writing and it sort of flowed from there. So movement really helps me connect, helps me make sense of some of the things that God is saying. Often the biggest decisions we've made with Sharon have been from hearing God together while we were out on a walk or something. Movement helps both of us. Just having clarity of mind, hearing, processing, receiving from the Lord. So it might be helpful to you. It might help you discern things and help you connect with God. And again, it's important to discern the difference between connecting with the Lord through movement and just staying busy, right? We need to make sure that the time we set aside to move is in the pursuit of connection with Him, right? Another way that you might be inclined to meet with the Lord is through conversation. Daily conversations are the foundation of any good relationship, right? It's easy to hear God for you. And when you are in His presence, it's filled with questions and answers. When you ask Him questions, He answers, He speaks to you. When something stands out in Scripture, you ask Him about it. When you need to be reminded of your identity, you ask Him to do that, to remind you. You're in the flow of a conversation with the Holy Spirit. You are being ministered to in that conversation. Conversing with the Lord is wanting God to be involved in every aspect of your life. Your desire to know what's on His heart and His mind is what is prompting those questions. So you inquire of the Lord, and that inquiring is what brings you further into His presence, if that makes sense. And when you ask, He simply responds. Here's some good questions to ask. What do you want to teach me today? Who do you say that I am? What is on your heart? Am I in your perfect will for my life? Is there anything that I'm doing that I should not be doing anymore? Is there anything that I'm not doing that I should be? All of those questions, as God speaks back, you are able to take action upon, and it just draws you deeper and deeper into that place of intimacy. It also aligns your life more and more as a disciple of Jesus. Now, remember, it's a two-way conversation. It's a two-way conversation. It's not just you just shooting everything, but there's also the listening part. And then don't get frustrated if you don't hear something right away. Also, you can ask Him anything, right? Nothing's too big or too small to ask. God is interested in those things. And again, this is, none of these are just working in silos, right? They all overlap. This might not be the only way that you encounter and meet with God, but it's one of the ways that helps you sort of come up that mountain. It's one of the ways that you express your devotion to God and you're able to find life in those times with Him. We'll do one more category, and then we'll move on from that slightly. And this category is for creative people in the room. You can connect with God through expression. As you express your creativity, you behold your Creator and reflect His image, right? You feel like you're able to connect and commune with Him when you are, or while you are creating, whether that's through painting, drawing, whether that's through writing, or even again, playing an instrument, dancing, all of those creative outlets. Maybe it's filming even as you go outside, film nature, whatever it is. Through those creative outlets, you are having, again, it helps you center yourself. It helps you shut away the noise. It helps you have that conversation with the Lord as those things allow that fresh space to come into your mind. When you create, you're able to surrender yourself, your thoughts, in that place you're then able to receive from God. So your expression becomes an avenue of connection with the Holy Spirit, and it can be an exchange in that place. Again, maybe of lies for truth or just questions and answers. But again, as you are maybe moving or creating or painting, whatever it is. Maybe in that, it's also about creating a space, a space that appeals to you, a space that helps your senses connect with God. It helps you. You might light a candle, play music, pour out a drink. In that expression, you get yourself ready for quality time with your Maker. Now, again, there's more categories I could go through. And one way or another, I think we will work on just giving you a file with all of that written down so that you can access it and sort of dive deeper into those things. But again, our heart is really to bring, help you have abundant life in your times with the Lord, to have you thriving in those times with God, because they should be the foundation of our lives, right? He's our daily bread. He's the well that never runs dry. We need to tap into that daily, right? We need to tap into that and let that flow into every area of our lives. You cannot pour anything out of an empty cup. You cannot pour anything out of an empty cup. Your cup needs to be full. And as it fills up, as you're connecting with the Lord, spending time with Him, receiving from Him, your cup fills up. And then when we find ourselves in a setting like today on a Sunday morning, you are ready to then pour out. It's not just the person leading the service, the person here on leading the worship or the whole band, or the person bringing the word that is sort of pouring out, but it's the whole room that pours out of that overflow. And there's an explosion of life and power and just God's fire that sets ablaze things in the corporate. That is why we need both the private and the corporate. Nothing can happen in the corporate if nothing is happening in the private place, right? Equally, there are things that we will experience in the corporate that we won't experience in the private place. God places us in a body for a reason, right? The Bible encourages to keep on meeting. We should not give up on meeting together. And that is because in the place of the corporates, we can be encouraged, we can be discipled, we can be strengthened. But also, I believe there's some things that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to us as a body. I can remember so many moments over the years where I was sitting in this room in Foundry Lane, listening to something that Pastor Clive was sharing on a Sunday or even imparting in an encounter setting, where I knew this is significant for the whole body. There's something that is going on with this corporate anointing that is resting upon Kingdom Faith that I wouldn't have tapped into unless I had been here. Right? So those moments are significant. And sometimes as well, there might be assignments that requires the body coming together as one. I think the last encounter we had here again all together was very much that. We were sort of birthing something in the spirit for the Sunday coming. And so there's moments where we come together as a body and as one mind, we have one goal and we sort of go for that in the place of prayer and intercession. So the corporate is very, very much important. So we need a corporate, but the corporate is that much more effective if the private is alive and thriving. I think Colin used last week in Horsham the analogy of us being like bricks. And every brick needs to be healthy for the whole building to be strong, sort of thing. Now, the health of a church is down to the health of the house, of the individual, of the individuals making up the church. So we all want all of us to have a thriving personal relationship with our King. And in that way, carrying something out of our doors every single day. And in that way, not only being a consumer within a body, but being someone that pours out of an overfilling cup every time we come together. And I promise you, as we catch hold of that, as we find the life in our times with God, as He grows us, molds us, shapes us, and we bring all of that into here, into these corporate settings, some things are gonna just surprise us when we do that. The atmosphere is going to shift and God is going to be allowed to move more powerfully because of everything that's been going on already. We're not in ticking over mode. We have an engine that's roaring and it has fuel in it and is going. Hopefully that makes some sense. Let's just pray as we finish. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have not saved us for us just to get a ticket to heaven. You have saved us into a relationship with you. You have saved us to experience you day after day after day after day, to be molded and shaped, to be conformed to the image of your Son. You have saved us to have a relationship with you that would be thriving, alive, active, that would be where you give to us and we give to you. And out of that, we are full of life, full of health, full of your fire, full of your power. And we go out and pour out the life of your kingdom to everyone around us. Lord, I pray that this would become a greater reality in all of our lives as a church. I thank you for these, that you have created us unique, in unique ways. And so you want to meet with us in unique ways as well. And I pray for just fresh life and freedom to come through out of all those things we've talked about this morning, so that every one of us could have greater life, just increasingly greater life within our private times with you, whether that's in silence and solitude, or as we are outside, or as we explore different ways to connect, or as we think, well, God is putting his finger on just me walking around my estate and praying, and I'm going to encounter him in that way for the next few days. Lord, I just thank you for your Spirit just speaking as the seeds have been sown of your word, just your Holy Spirit speaking and watering that so that it would bear good fruit in each of our lives. Father, I thank you. I thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, let this bear, much, much fruit, all for your glory. In your name we prayed. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.